1 Corinthians chapter 11. Amen. I'm just going to read the scripture and then we're going to partake the Lord's Supper. The churches tonight who have what they call closed communion. And we don't call it communion, we call it the Lord's Supper. And closed communion means if you're not a member of that church that you don't partake of it. And we don't do that here. I don't say it. The Bible don't say it. And according to the Bible, if you're saved, you're a part of the body of Christ, universal. This is a local church, a local Bible-believing Baptist church. And so we teach here, if you're saved, right with God, as we'll read here in the Scripture, then you are allowed to partake of the supper tonight. If you were in some churches, they wouldn't allow you unless you remember that church. That's called closed communion. They big argument over that among preachers and theological stuff. But they solve all them arguments. You just believe the Bible. There ain't nothing to argue about. Ain't that right? On these days, I'm going to preach a sermon. And I got stuff wrote down at home. And it's going to really make some people mad. But I'm going to preach it one of these days. It's called Things Christians Believe That Are Not in the Bible. And I got all kinds of stuff. That people believe, I mean, people like us believe, it ain't got a thing in the world to do with the Bible. And boy, people are going to get mad when they hear that sermon. But the Lord's going to say, thank you, Brother Danny, I appreciate that. And because, listen, this book right here will keep you straight. And so tonight, we'll look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll look at verse number 23. Verse number 23. This is how this got started. A Baptist church, a Bible-believing church, has two ordinances. The Lord's Supper and tithing. No, I'm just kidding. Baptism. Thought I was going to say foot washing, didn't you? We'll do that if you want to, but it's not an ordinance. It's not an ordinance. Foot washing is not an ordinance. It doesn't say anything against it. But it's not a church ordinance. I've been in foot washing before. Me and these boys, I'll try everything when I first got saved. We stopped over on the riverbank over in Gatlinburg one time. We said, the Bible said that. We haven't been saved very long. Let's do it. We got down in there and got in the creek and got rolled our bitches' legs up. And everybody started washing each other's feet. And I said, I'm not really getting a blessing out of this. And they we tried. We thought, man, there's got to be something spiritual in this somewhere. And it was crazy. We felt stupid. But there was a reason the Lord did that. There was a reason the Lord did that. And, you know, we won't go into all that tonight. But anyway, let's look at this scripture in verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. That's what it says on that table there. In every church you go in, this do in remembrance of me. Now, verse 25. To the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped. Good word there. Sup and supper is a good word. Yankees say breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The Bible calls it dinner and supper, like we Southern rednecks. We speak a lot more scriptural than Yankees. He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it, and it don't say how often that would be, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. There's the reason for it. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And here's what I want you to do tonight. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, that means if you're living like a devil and you ain't even trying to do right, and you go ahead and do this, you eateth and drinketh damnation to yourself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now, some people died because they did this unworthily. For if we would judge ourselves, key verse, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Now, I'm going to stop right there. Those verses are loaded with stuff, and I'm not going to take time to teach on all this. But you see that verse there in verse 31? It said, if we judge ourselves, we'll not be judged. I want you to get in the habit of judging yourself. Be hard on yourself. I'm harder on myself than I am anybody else. I got stricter convictions for Danny than I have anybody. Some of my convictions probably ain't even scriptural, but I can't help it. That's the way I feel. And I won't let myself do stuff sometimes that I wouldn't dare preach that you shouldn't do. And the reason why, I figure if I judge myself, the Lord won't have to judge me. If you won't judge your sins, God will have to step in and judge them. Now, if you'll say, okay, Lord, I'm sorry, I know I'm wrong, God, I know this is a sin, God, have mercy on me, then he'll give you, and you won't have to be judged. But if you go and say, well, I don't care, everybody's got sins, my sin's no different than anybody else's, then you're forcing God to have to step in and judge you. If you'll take care of it, it felt like the Lord talked to you and said, you want to fix it, or you want me to fix it for you? Yeah. I've done that to my girls before. Some boys called one of my girls here one time several years ago. No, it wasn't. It was this week. And I got one talking to him on the phone or something like that. And I said, look, you want to tell him? You want to do this? Or you want me to do it for you? I'll do it. You know? And I said, okay, if you don't do it, then I'll do it for you. That's the way God does us. He gives us a chance to fix what's wrong in our life. And if you don't do it, guess what? If you're saved, he will step in and do it for you. And believe me, it's a lot easier on you if you'll go ahead and fix it yourself. If you'll fix it yourself, if a kid straightens up before mom and daddy whips him, he's a whole lot better off than he just goes on and on and on until mom and daddy has to get him and. So that's what it talks about, examining ourselves. Let's all examine ourselves. This is our fifth anniversary. Let's get our heart right with God and do this. Now, theologically speaking, there are three views on the Lord's Supper. All the theologians in the world, doctors and professors and Presbyterian, Catholic and Baptist, and all that, there are basically three views. I'm going to give them to you quick, about 2 minutes, and then I'm going to get down to the spiritual part of this. First of all, there's the view of what we call a transubstantiation. And transubstantiation is a big fancy word that simply means that the Catholic Church teaches that when a Catholic priest puts his blessings on this, they call it a mass. That's not in the Bible. And they say that the blood that they use wine, or we don't, we use the juice, the fruit of the vine. They use the unleavened bread, which we use. They believe that it actually, by a miracle, turns into the literal body, Jesus Christ and his literal blood. So they believe they're cannibals. A Catholic is a cannibal if he really believes what his church teaches. Amen? Because they believe that you are actually eating his flesh and drinking his blood when you partake of the Lord's Supper. That's what they call transubstantiation. A Catholic priest puts a blessing on this, and it actually becomes the body and blood of Jesus Christ. If you don't believe that, you find the first Catholic priest you find and ask him, and that's exactly what the Catholic Church believes. Matter of fact, they believe this night ain't doing us a bit of good. They believe you don't even have eternal life unless you have partaken of a mass blessed by a Catholic priest. According to that, I don't have eternal life, you don't have eternal life. Our answer to that is, listen. Amen. Brother, we have eternal life through our faith in Jesus Christ. This has nothing to do with it. Amen. This is we do in remembrance of him. This is a symbol. You know how I taught you that baptism was a symbol? Baptism is a symbol. Baptism washes your sins away. Baptism is a picture of the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. This don't wash your sins away. This is a picture of us receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't receive Christ through your mouth. You receive him by faith in your heart. This is a picture and a symbol. This do in remembrance of me. As often you do. That's transubstantiation. That's a joke. There's no such thing. I'm not a magician. When I ask the blessing on this, it don't turn into the body and blood of Jesus. That's a bunch of junk. Then there's a second teaching. That's a Lutheran, sort of Lutheran, Episcopalian, all that stuff. It's called consubstantiation. And consubstantiation, like a Lutheran, is a backslid Catholic. They're somewhere in between somewhere, in there somewhere. And their church teaches that even though the bread and wine don't become the body and blood, that somehow or another the blood and body are mystically present in the service when you do this. And that's also a bunch of junk. There's nothing floating around in here tonight. There's nothing mystical or magical about this at all. It's an ordinance that we do show the Lord's death till He come. That's it. Nothing magical is going to happen here. I'm not going to work a miracle and transform this into the, you know, all that kind of junk. Read that story of Father Chaniki, 50 years in the Church of Rome. It's a book about that thick, and I don't think I ever did make it all the way through it, but I got enough of it to let me, I figured out what was going on. And man, I'm telling you what, that's the most unbelievable story you ever read in your life. They believe that when the priest comes and ministers rites, that's the body of Jesus. And I mean, there's stories of where they come in and they dropped it and rats came out from under the altar and ate the body of Jesus, and I guess it got eternal life when it did that. I don't know. That's crazy. That's blasphemy. This is not the body and blood of Jesus. This is a picture of it, and we do show the Lord's death till He come. Now, one more thing. One more thing is children. Now, what I do with my children, you say, well, little Johnny's 4 and he wants to do it too. You tell little Johnny to keep his hands off of that and just sit there and teach him respect what God is showing us here tonight. If little Johnny gets saved and you're satisfied as a parent that he's saved and he's trusting the Lord and he understands what this is, then okay. But for the little kids, no. Parents will make that call. That's between you and the Lord. I wouldn't let a kid get baptized until I knew he'd give me a clear testimony that he knew he had been saved. This is nothing to joke around with. It's not just something fun we do at church. This is showing the Lord's death till He comes. So, Christians, you're ready, I'm sure? And I'm going to read this scripture to you one more time, and we'll look at it. Look at verse number 28. But let a man examine himself. Let a man examine himself. What I want us to do tonight is we examine ourselves. Don't you sit there and say, oh, Lord, boy, I tell you. Like Brother Jason's testimony a while ago, it took some guts to get up here and say what he said. And, you know, when he got up here, I mean, here he's up here saying he's been backslid. Here's Miss Curry saying he's down. Faith about ready to give up. I thought, Lord, pow, you know, I mean, we might as well all commit suicide. Now, but I'm glad they said that. I'm going to say it to you. The best Christians you know fight the same battles you're fighting. If you're not careful, you'll get to thinking, boy, everybody else is up here living on this high plane. Boy, I'm full of the devil. I'm wicked. No, we're all made out of the same stuff. And we, everyone, fight the same battles. Don't y'all put on like, it never bothers me. Yeah, okay, whatever. You ain't right with God. The devil will bother you. And so tonight, I'm not saying you're thinking, well, I'm just an old sorry sinner, Brother Daniel. I'm just not worthy. That's not what I'm talking about. If you're right with God, as far as you know, then you feel free to partake of the Lord's Supper. If you're sitting here saying, I don't care. I'm going to go live for the devil tonight. I'm going to get drunk tonight, do whatever I want to. Then you just leave it alone because you eat and drink damnation to yourself. In other words, you say, Lord, I'm sorry, but God, if you'll help me, I'm going to try to live for you. You're clear. See, it's your heart. It's the attitude of your heart. The attitude of your heart is what God looks at. Okay? And I don't care if you've fell in a mud hole yesterday. If you repented and your heart's right with God tonight, then you go ahead. Okay? All right. We're going to have you guys come forward now. Go ahead and get started. We'll start with the bread. Come on. And then she's going to play softly. And while we do this, you just take a minute to examine yourself. If you want to just pray, if you want to come to the altar, if you want to just sit there and read your Bible, let's all take this time, just like taking a bath, to ask God just to work in our hearts, okay? Amen. Amen. Just examine yourself here tonight. Just say, God, is there anything in my heart that anybody I need to forgive? Anybody I got hard feelings toward? Anybody I've done wrong? I'm sorry right now. God, if I've done something, if I've been doing something I shouldn't have been doing, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. Just get it right tonight. That's right. Amen. 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 Bible says, let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body, for the Lord's death until he come. Read this scripture and then partake of the bread. Father, we thank you, Lord, that one day on a hill far away, your body was broken for us. And Lord, as we break this bread here tonight, Lord, help us to remember how your body was beat. Blood came out of it. And they mocked you and spit on you for our sorry sins. God, they don't one of us here tonight deserves that. But you said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Lord, we believe that tonight. And I believe it's my only hope for heaven. And we're trusting it. We just want to say thank you. Bless us tonight. Thank you that your body was broken for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me read the scripture. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Evening, that without that blood, that precious blood, Lord, that we'd never have no hope of heaven. And I thank you that you went all the way to Calvary and didn't stop and let the blood be shed for us. And God, I'm glad, as the song said a while ago, the blood is still there. Hallelujah. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood. Amen. I tell you what.